Hey, Coach, how's it going today?
Good, Phil. How you doing?
All right. Hey, thank you very much for working with my schedule, and happy to have you back on.
Yeah, for sure.
So, I don't know where you want to start with this. I know you guys got a busy weekend coming up, but it seems odd to not go right to the Four Nations tournament, given that we just wrapped that up.
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, it was, from a viewing standpoint, I think it was, I definitely think it was a success.
I mean, it's impossible to call it anything but that. I think it has brought hockey really to the forefront. I mean, just like within the span of 5 days, it feels like hockey has become a very important topic here in the United States. You just look at what the ticket prices were going for in Boston ahead of the final against Canada. I mean, thousands of dollars on the line. I mean, that's got to feel pretty good from a hockey standpoint.
Yeah, and I just think the, you know, I think with the setup of it as a guy in hockey with just the Four Nations, you weren't really sure how it was going to go. Obviously, the World Cup that they had years ago was a big success, but I think that's almost 10 years ago, and then you've had some Olympics on, some Olympics off, and then I just think the exposure that they got with this, and then reading a lot of stuff on social media and the news on how well it did over the NBA All-Star game, the first game. I was, to be honest, I was kind of shocked to hear that. And then obviously just the way the game, actually all the games were entertaining and close, but the way that game ends or plays out yesterday was, I think, a great for our sport. And really, I think, it's a lot of time between now and then, but you know, people are already talking about how excited they are for the Olympics.
Well, and you know, so I want to come back to the end of the game in just a second here, because I do want to talk about it with you. But you know, something that I heard you say about it, you know, being more popular almost than the NBA All-Star Week is, I think that comes down to the players. And I think you look at the players that wound up being on these national teams, they took it very seriously. There was a lot of pride that was very obviously on display from sort of game one all the way throughout the tournament. And I think the fans ate that up. I think everybody wanted to see something like that. And it could not have come at a better time, really, not even just for hockey, but I think for sports overall. I think this is going to be something that a lot of other sports look at and point to as something that worked and worked very well.
Yeah, no question. And I just, I think, I don't know that there's another sport, and it's not just Canada, U.S., Finland, Sweden, and obviously, you know, even the countries that you know, didn't participate and hopefully will moving forward.
I think they will in
Russia, Czech, and Slovakia. I just think that hockey fans and hockey players, their sense of pride when they put on their country's jersey, and maybe it's because most of these guys have all played in the World Juniors, which growing up in Canada was, you know, synonymous with the hockey season. Like, that's what you did after Christmas Day, is you sat and you hunkered down and watched, you know, 7 days of World Junior hockey and watched the you know, Sidney Crosby as a 16-year-old,
yeah,
and all these young players that were going to go on to be NHL players, and watch them compete. And I just think it's kind of ingrained in hockey players. I don't know that other sports have that type of format, so maybe that's why it is. But to your point, these guys, you know, the best players in the world, all in one spot together, playing for their country, and it has nothing to do about, you know, contracts or paychecks, and it just shows you. I think this tournament, again, just put that on display for, you know, the whole world to see.
Yeah, that's quite an insight from you. You know, I agree with you. I think that there's something different about hockey players when it comes to different sports, and it comes to that sort of playing for pride moment. I mean, you could even see that if you just look at the United States team. If you didn't even look at anybody else, the injuries that those guys were going through, and then coming up into the final, they're like, no, we're all playing. You know, and they do have season left. You know, there is money that could potentially be on the line for those guys. Nobody wanted to miss the game. I really... I could not have been happier with how that went, and I can't even imagine what it's like to be in your shoes, like somebody who's in the hockey world watching that happen and seeing this all bubble up like over the span of a week.
Yeah, well, it's funny. Obviously, it was a big buzz in the room here with our players, and the common theme, two things for me is, how do you go back to watching a regular hockey game? And then the second part of it is the reality that these guys have to play tomorrow.
And some of them are now playing with teammates that were on the opposing team. It's wild.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
I think there's 14 NHL games tomorrow, and it's just like, you know, how do you go from that, take the, even whatever side you were on, whether it was the U.S. Canada, playing in that final game, playing at 8 o'clock at night. So by the time everything's wrapped up and you celebrate, I mean, you're well into the wee hours of the morning, then you got to travel back, you know, probably get a day off, a skate. And then there's, I think there's 12:30, 1 o'clock games tomorrow. Like, I think Sidney Crosby plays at 1 o'clock tomorrow in Pittsburgh.
You know, if there's one thing you've identified that they've sort of missed and that they will almost certainly correct next time around, you're right. There's not enough room to celebrate here.
Yeah.
They got to give them a day.
There's no question. I deem it as a success, really, not knowing, because this is the first time with just, you know, only four teams in like this in midseason too. So
could not have gone better. Now I mentioned that I wanted to come back to the end of the game with you, and I know we're going to get to Islander stuff, I promise, but I'm so like still wrapped up in everything that just happened last night. I'm buzzing with it. People around the office here are still talking about it. How did you feel about the end of the game? Did you feel that the United States defense sort of lost Connor McDavid there? Was that an incredible play? How did you look at that?
Yeah, not so much as a breakdown as much as a misread. I think the way Fox, anytime like we try to emphasize offensively, which I think all teams do, is you try to change, we call it east-west, but you try to change sides below the goal line as much as possible, because that makes all the defenders look down towards their net. And you hope they get a situation where they're puck focused and they maybe lose somebody in coverage. And then, you know, as opposed from defending from the top where everything's kind of in front of you, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And it, when it changes sides like that, everybody's got to shift their coverage over to the other side. And Fox, I thought, was a little late getting there. And then there's some indecision by Matthews, and he kind of gets caught in between, and bang, you got the best player in the world standing right in the slot.
Just right there, completely alone, and he didn't miss, which, of course,
on
you know.
On and off his stick.
Yeah.
As quick as it can be.
And credit to his teammate for finding him. You know, like, it's one thing to be standing there, but to also know that's where he's going to be. I got to get the puck in that area. It was just, I mean, a heartbreaker for me as someone rooting for the U.S. in that case. But, I mean, a beautiful moment of hockey.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, let's switch over to the Islanders. So let's start with some celebration, because you've had two players since we last talked make their NHL debuts over the last month or so. And I want to hear what you thought about all that.
First of all, for me, Mark Gackholm is just the kind of heart and soul guy. You know, this is a guy that played in the East Coast League a couple years ago and has really, had to work for it, I guess, and has been a great player and person to coach here. And just, you know, he's what we call a low-maintenance player in the sense that, you know what you're going to get from them. And you challenge them and you get more from them. And so you're excited when they get a call up. But you're even more excited when they go up and the reports you're getting back is how much the NHL coaches like this guy up there.
Oh, that's huge.
You know, you may not see him, and now he scores his first goal, and then he gets his second, and I think he's got three goals now. So it's a really good story, and I think as an organization, when you can find players and people like this that you're not even sure if you're going to potentially have room for them, and they go and kind of you know, they take that opportunity, as they say, and they kind of boot the door down and said, I'm here, you know, and going to make an impact. So really happy for him. Skerrick's a little different scenario. He's been in the organization for a while. And finally gets a chance to get up there and play in his first game.
I mean, hey, anytime you can get up there and just say, you know, I got to spend some time up there. That's a very special moment for Mark, especially as you were mentioning, you know, he's a guy who went to the University of Connecticut. So people who listen to this podcast, even if perhaps you're not an Islanders fan, which I can understand, you know, we sort of split the difference between a few different teams here. Easy guy to root for as sort of a local boy. So congratulations on that. But now the problem comes in with, What do you do now to try to fill those positions?
Well, we've had a lot of guys recalled from the Worcester and the East Coast League. And then, I guess since the last time we talked, you know, we're getting some guys back from injury, and the Islanders are getting healthy here again as well. We got Isaiah George back, a defenseman who's obviously spent a lot. I think he played four games for us before he went to Long Island. He's a young prospect that has come back and played really well for us. So, you know, guys get elevated in their roles. And like I said, we've had a bunch of injuries, but we're starting to get on the right side of getting healthy again and getting some bodies back here. And you know, looking forward to, you know, kind of the last couple months of the season here and getting some consistency in our lineup.
Do you find it difficult sometimes when those guys, you know, go away for a few months and they play in the big leagues and then they come back? Do you find it more difficult to get some kind of production out of them because maybe they're used to something different in the big leagues? Or do you now look at them as sort of like someone to motivate the rest and be like, hey, this is possible for any one of you?
Yeah, and I do think there's a bit of an adjustment period when they come back. Each guy is different. You know, some guys have been, you know, we've had situations where guys have gone up there and then been healthy scratches for a while, so they haven't played, or they, you know, play a lesser role up there, and, you know, they're used to playing 15, 16 minutes here, and they're only playing, you know, less than half that up there. So I think it's each individual based. I mean, Isaiah George's ice time got depleted pretty much up there, but he came down here. He's such a great skater. He came down here and fit in seamlessly. So,
yeah.
And as far as motivation, I think I think guys are happy for him, but they're also like, okay, I want to be that guy. So it should, I know it would motivate me if I was the right winger and Mark Gatcombe got called up and did well. And I'm like, okay, I can get that opportunity. So
yeah.
There's no question.
Yeah. And definitely as you continue to see it happen sort of throughout the season, it's like, hey, any moment can be the moment, and you just sort of have to be ready when it comes. And like you were saying with Isaiah George, anything can be an opportunity as well. Maybe he comes back, he gets that increased ice time. Maybe his production goes up and all of a sudden, wow, we were missing something here. Maybe he deserves another look, you know? So anything can be an opportunity if you treat it as such.
Yeah. Yeah,
right.
For sure. I agree.
All right, so I know you guys have a busy weekend coming up. You got back-to-back games and then a third home game on Wednesday before you guys take a little bit of a road trip. What's the mentality here going in? You know, obviously there's a lot of energy, as we were talking about, around hockey in general right now, but you guys have also had a couple of days off leading into. Is it 6 days off before these games?
Yeah, we were, five. We played Sunday.
Okay.
Sunday in Providence. So, yeah, we got a bit of a break. We're able to get couple practices, give some guys some reps, and the biggest thing is it gave us an opportunity. It gives these guys, some guys, a chance to heal up. We potentially are looking at, you know, three guys coming back into the lineup here, which will certainly help us. And, you know, these weeks are always better when you're coming off a win. We played well in Providence on Sunday there, and you know, it just makes the everybody's in a little better mood.
Definitely.
For these long weeks.
Yeah. All right. So, well, best of luck for this weekend. And then I know that there's a big celebration happening on Saturday.
Yeah, it's Storm's birthday.
Yeah.
And what? How old is he now?
Well, he's past
24.
Past drinking age. I know that.
Yeah, and we also have a a fisherman bobblehead giveaway, 2,500, first 2,500 fans get one of these bobbleheads. I'm looking at him right now on my desk. He's a pretty good-looking dude here. So first 2,500 get the bobblehead. And like I said, it's also Storm's birthday here.
Yeah, so. might be only $24.99 if you like him that much. You'll have to hold on to one.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, and it's this weekend, which we've had a couple of them, but the Saturday is a 5 p.m. game as well.
Right, yes. Important to mention, doors open at 4 o'clock. Everybody can go in and again. Get there early if you want to get one of those bobbleheads because it's limited availability, first come, first serve sort of deal.
Yes,
exactly.
Sure.
All right, well, Coach, best of luck. Thank you for making time for me. Oh, I forgot to ask you, who were you technically rooting for in the Four Nations tournament? I know you can.
I thought that might be your first question, though.
I got a little too excited from last night's game. I did kind of forget to ask.
I'm Canada through and through, born and raised, but even though I've been working and living in this country for over 20 years now, we've stuck with the home roots, and cheer for Canada.
Good for you. I guess our pizza wasn't enough to sway all that.
No.
Well, Coach K, we're lucky to have you. Thank you very much. Good luck to the Islanders this weekend and throughout the rest of the season, and maybe we'll talk again.
Okay, sounds good. Appreciate it. Thanks, Phil.